The accounting firm of Haynes, Eisenbarger, and Skiba presents the 26th College Football Hall of Fame season of Fighting Irish Preview. And now, the Guadalupe's Mexican Grill Food Made Fresh kickoff with your host, Phil Houck.
For the last 5 years in the month of November, all Notre Dame has done is win. In 2018, down went Northwestern, Florida State, Syracuse, and USC as the Irish closed out an undefeated regular season and earned a CFP playoff berth. In 2019, down went Virginia Tech, Duke, Navy, Boston College, and Stanford, five straight as the Irish nicely recovered from a loss at the end of October to Michigan. In 2020, down went number one Clemson, Boston College, and number 19, North Carolina. The Irish again emerged from the regular season unscathed and earned another CFP spot. In 2021, down went Navy, Virginia, Georgia Tech, and Stanford. The Irish again won out in November and earned a berth in the New Year's Six Fiesta Bowl. And this year, so far, so good. Down have gone number 4 Clemson and Navy. In all, the Irish have won 18 straight in the month of November, and this week, they look to extend that dominance over the month on Senior Day in South Bend against the Boston College Eagles. Guadalupe's Mexican Grill, located on Illinois Road, look for new Fort Wayne locations soon. Now, stay tuned for Fighting Irish Insight. From America's foremost authority on Notre Dame football, Tim Priester, senior editor of IrishIllustrated.com. After these words from Haynes, Eisenbarger, and Skiba, Shear McCulloch Auctioneers, and refreshing Coors Light, made to chill. This is Fighting Irish Preview.
The University of Notre Dame exemplifies dedication to hard work, integrity, and personal values, which result in success in the classroom and on the football field. The professionals at Haynes, Eisenbarger, and Skiba, like Notre Dame, know the same dedication, and their experience and expertise provide peace of mind for you and your business. Tax planning, tax compliance, auditing, business valuation, and estate planning, the full-service accounting firm of Haynes, Eisenbarger, and Skiba, like the Irish, has what it takes to help you achieve success. Located in Fort Wayne near Jefferson Point, Haynes, Eisenbarger, and Skiba proudly supports Notre Dame football and congratulates all those who are a part of the greatest tradition in all of sports. Go Irish!
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Now back to Fighting Irish Preview with your host, Phil Houck.
Tim Priester, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. It's never easy to play Navy. And more times than not, you get a, shall we say, an odd football game. So after a big first half, did the Irish think they could maybe phone in that second half? Was this an attitude problem? Maybe a post-Clemson delayed letdown or something like that?
I kind of threw that notion out there after the game. I think that there you do reach a point, though, sometimes where there is physical and mental overload, and when you follow up a momentous victory like Notre Dame had against Clemson and then deal with like playing football on another planet, to quote Mike Golic Jr., perhaps that's it. But I think more than anything, it was a quarterback that was very inefficient in the second half after being very good in the first half, and that stalled multiple drives, including a wide open pass to Michael Mayer that would have put Notre Dame back up by 18 or potentially put them back up by 18. So, and then the defense is on the field the whole time in the second half. So a multitude of things, but, ultimately it comes down to Marcus Freeman getting his team mentally and emotionally prepared to play for four quarters every week, and that's difficult to do.
Well, that urgency word that has been a buzzword all season long didn't
I just wonder how many times we heard that word at halftime of that game, because there didn't seem to be a lot of urgency in the second half. Drew Pine, though, an outstanding. I got to cite his statistics for the game. I want to mention that in the show. 17 of 21, 269, 4 TDs. He ran for another one. Great numbers overall, but in the second half, he just couldn't make a right decision. Tim, defensive coordinator Al Golden this week talked about avoiding an option hangover. I think you and I combined have watched about a zillion Notre Dame Navy games. We know what an option hangover is, but talk about what an option hangover might be.
Well, the problem is that you've come off a week where your preparation has been completely different, and you do have to reacclimate. I know it sounds, it sounds like it should be easy, but you do have to reacclimate to what you're accustomed to doing on a weekly basis. And football coaches will tell you that. And so I understand Al Golden saying that, but I don't think that that's going to be the case this week against Boston College. Boston College is a rival. Everybody at Notre Dame knows that Boston College is going to bring their best, and they're playing their best right now. Senior day, last time through, I know sometimes emotions can get the best of guys, but I really think that they're going to respond in a manner that puts that Navy game behind them. But I know where Al Golden's coming from, because the week before or the week of and then the week after can be difficult when you're dealing with the triple option.
Yeah, and I have no doubt that the Notre Dame team is anxious to put that behind them, because it is a difficult transition to play against that option, and then you got to transition back to regular football. And let's talk about that Navy option. Just one more question about Navy. Tim, why continue to play Navy, and focus on two aspects of this? Focus on the football reasons why Notre Dame should play Navy and the institutional reasons why Notre Dame should play Navy, because I think the answers are opposite of each other.
I think they very much are, Phil. I mean, from an institutional standpoint, the Naval Academy helped bail Notre Dame out in the 40s when they were having trouble with enrollment and staying alive. And, Father Hesburgh never forgot that. And there's been a commitment to the Naval Academy, and that carries on. I think that we live in a, we live in a political environment now, too, where it's important that Notre Dame supports the military as well. And so we're not in a position, or I don't think Notre Dame's in a position where they can play to the football side of it. And the football side of it says there's not a whole lot to be gained for Notre Dame, because everything is different in preparation for it. And then the Navy hangover. Navy and Notre Dame are intertwined for the rest of our lifetime, Phil, I believe. And I think that's a very good thing. But from a football standpoint, no, it does not help Notre Dame at all.
About the only thing I can think of is maybe you can say that having to go through that schizophrenic approach to particularly defensive football, it builds character in your team and might come in handy at some point. But I agree, it's not going to end anytime soon. I just couldn't imagine being the president or the AD that makes that decision to cancel. The only way it might end is if Navy for some reason wants out, if their priorities change, but I don't see that happening either.
I don't think that's happening.
Tim, last week our key player of the game that you nominated, JD Bertrand. How much was he missed during this game? Because you thought he was going to be a key, and so did I.
Yeah, he was injured in the Clemson game, and he gave it a try pregame, but it wasn't going to work for him. And I think it was huge. We've been talking about JD Bertrand quite a bit the last couple of weeks about what he means to the Notre Dame defense and the team in general, because he is just the ultimate leader. His ability to line everybody up and to make the right decisions against triple option was badly missed against Navy. I'm not saying he's mistake free, but the one thing I know about JD Bertrand is the Mike linebacker, and that is that he would understood more than anybody that the one thing that couldn't happen was for the fullback to gash you for 50 yards and 35 yards and a 15 yard run. So I believe he would have been in place for some of those game changing and momentum changing runs, but it appears that he should be ready to go this week. But I think that was a huge loss for Notre Dame.
Yeah, that's good news. That fullback ran for 133 yards, and I'm confident, just like you, that if J.D. Bertrand had been in the game, that number's not nearly that big, and that would have changed the whole game. One of the highlights of the game has to be the performances of the wide receivers in the first half. Lindsey, Thomas, Colsey, 10 catches, 182 yards. And Tim, was Brandon Lindsey's TD catch one of the most amazing catches you have ever seen, or maybe the most amazing catch you've ever seen?
I mean, it might be the most amazing one, because what happened was ridiculous. The only way he could catch the football is if he gave a bear hug to cornerback Mabidi Williams Jr. And that's what he did. He wrapped his arms around his midsection because that's where the football was, grabbed it with two, and then clasped it with one and celebrated the touchdown. It was amazing. It was badly needed by Braden Lindsey. He's been open a lot this year. He's been open deep for touchdown passes, and he's been overthrown. And in the past, he's dropped some of those. And so here we got a big kick out of it at Irish Illustrated, because I don't know how many times we've said that, you know, we can't ever remember Braden Lindsey winning a contested pass, and he made the most contested reception you could possibly imagine.
It just bears rewatching if you haven't watched it, fans. It's amazing the way he said this week that he didn't really see the ball, but he knew where it was probably going to be, and he could feel it on the back of the defender, and he pulls it out with one hand and didn't lose the football while he's gripping it with just one hand. An amazing catch. I just stood up and just said, how in the world did he do that? That was an exciting catch, as good as any you'll see this whole season, maybe ever. Tim, let's move on to a little recruiting news. We don't do that a lot on this show, but some really good recruiting news for the Irish this week. Nothing is certain yet, but it's looking almost certain. The Irish have been in search of a quarterback for their 2023 class. Lots of stops and starts in this recruitment. It wasn't looking good like they were going to get one at all. And now they may have found one, a four-star prospect out of the state of Tennessee. Talk about it.
Yeah, it's Kenny Minchie, about 6'2", maybe slightly under that, but not shorter than that. A little bit over 200 pounds and just a really dynamic quarterback. He was verbally committed to Pittsburgh. He verbally decommitted this week with the intention of visiting Notre Dame this weekend. And we expect him to, if he doesn't make a verbal commitment, or let's put it this way, he probably already has, but we're talking about a public announcement. He's from the same high school that Golden Tate attended in Hendersonville, Tennessee. He is just ultra accurate, a confident kid, makes all the throws, a pass first guy, I think has a great ability to understand where the chess pieces on the board are at all times. And when you consider that the early signing date is December 21st and he was verbally committed to Pittsburgh, it's really an amazing catch for Notre Dame and will help transform the quarterback room next year, because the idea is to still get a transfer or grad transfer quarterback. So the skimpy quarterback room is going to be crowded next year.
Yeah, your film study article on him on IrishIllustrated.com really got me excited about this young man. I think it's just a tremendous addition, a surprising addition to this class at this point, again, as you said. Okay, Tim, weekly bold destination question. Right now, what are we most likely looking at?
Well, it looks like they're zeroing in on the Holiday Bowl in San Diego. It's played on December 28th. Notre Dame has never played in the Holiday Bowl. I think it's a destination for a lot of college football players and college football fans. It's always been a real high scoring bowl game, but it looks like it's going to be that. And the reason is it's twofold, I guess. Number one, the ACC has multiple teams to be chosen for the Gator Bowl, for the Cheez-It Bowl, which is the old Camping World Bowl that Notre Dame attended. Florida State, North Carolina is a possibility there. Who else am I looking at? I mean, there's a couple teams that certainly that will qualify for that level of bowl. So Holiday Bowl, December 28th, looking like definitely a team from the Pac-12. And right now, The Athletic, Pete Sampson is on our podcast. The Athletic is projecting an opponent by the name of UCLA. So it'd be an interesting battle in San Diego.
Okay, well, as long as it's a warm place and they have a good airport, I'm in, and it qualifies. So,
Notre Dame needs to win one of the next two games. So if they win against Boston College, it doesn't really matter what happens in the USC game in terms of where Notre Dame's bowl destination would be.
Okay, there you have it. Now, Tim, your Thursday Thoughts column this week on IrishIllustrated.com, you referred to a game that you covered that you consider to be the most devastating loss you experienced in 41 years. I, of course, didn't need to read any further. I knew what you were talking about. Talk about that day a little bit. Maybe it'll be therapeutic, and maybe it'll get Irish fans, you know, their blood boiling a little bit for this weekend's matchup.
Well, Phil, that day occurred in late November of 1993. Notre Dame had defeated top-ranked Florida State the week before, and had to play Boston College the following week to close out the season undefeated, and then go on and play for the national championship. Well, Boston College was coached by a guy by the name of Tom Coughlin, and BC was number 16 in the nation, so they were no slouch, except Notre Dame had beaten them by 6 to 7 touchdowns the year before. So most expected it to be a cakewalk, but it wasn't. And it was a devastating loss for Notre Dame when Gordon kicked a 41-yard field goal to end the game. Still think that Notre Dame should have had the opportunity to play for the national title because they had beaten Florida State. It ended up being Florida State that got that opportunity and claimed it. But had some devastating ones over the course of remembering about 55 or 56 seasons, but that was the toughest one. There's some USC games in there, Phil, from our youth, from our early days and teenage days, but that one was the most devastating for me.
Yeah, it absolutely was, because it just had that exact direct bearing on the national championship, and it was pretty unexpected. I recall that day. I recall it vividly. It was the last game in the stadium that my dad attended, that I attended with him. And I remember walking out of the stadium, Tim, and seeing grown men openly weeping over the result of the game. It was that unexpected, that devastating. That was a tough day. So let's keep getting our revenge on Boston College as best we can. Tim, one Thanksgiving quick hit. Let's talk turkey. What is your preferred way of preparing the Thanksgiving turkey, or having it prepared for you, whichever your choice is?
You have some options for me here.
Well, I traditional oven method. I like brined. You can brine it, and you can do it in the oven. You can have a grilled turkey. Smoked turkey is really good. Deep fried turkey, or you know, something else. I'm sure there's other options out there.
Well, I'm pretty traditional, Phil, so I would say in the oven. But if I had to choose one of the others that you suggested, I don't think ever having any of those, I would say smoked turkey.
Oh, smoked turkey is outstanding. And now you know maybe you're going to get for Christmas from me. So in any event, I'm a big turkey fan myself. I like them any of those ways. Deep fried is absolutely amazing, but it is so messy. And I'll tell you, the way we usually do it is we typically brine our turkey and we bake it in a cooking bag, and it works, man. It's just perfect. And that's a tribute to my wife, Linda, of course. I've also had the smoked turkey that you talk about, and you would like it. Thanks, Tim. Coming up, it's the all-time Irish hero, key to an Irish victory, injury report, and the world-famous Irish Illustrated prediction. And during the break, it's the Fighting Irish Fact of the Week, brought to you by Ron Wise and the Wise Insurance Agency. This is the 380th edition of Fighting Irish Preview.
This is Art Salzberg. I don't speak for a lot of companies, but Sharon McCulloch is a firm that provides a great and much-needed service. As Sharon and I get older, we've been thinking of moving, but frankly, the thought is somewhat overwhelming. That's where Sharon McCulloch comes in with a full-service plan that takes the pressure off. Listen to this. Sharon McCulloch will sell your house, auction the items you don't want to take, then pack everything else and move you. In sports terms, that's a blowout win. Sure, McCulloch uses an international auction platform to make sure your possessions are seen by the right buyers. They'll get top dollar for your special treasures. Sure, McCulloch is highly recommended by leading retirement communities and law firms, plus their AAA with the Better Business Bureau. Call them at 441-8636. That's 441-8636. They'll make your moving experience easy and profitable. Sure, McCulloch.
The Fighting Irish Fact of the Week is brought to you by our friends at the Wise Insurance Agency. Notre Dame has scored 35 or more points in four consecutive games, accomplishing that feat for just the 10th time in their history. The Irish have scored 35 points in five straight games only once in 1943 and have never done it six times in a row. Call Ron Wise at the Wise Insurance Agency or go to thewiseinsuranceagency.com and get an auto or home quote in less than 5 minutes.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. Take the afternoon off and binge watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment, made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Now back to Fighting Irish Preview with your host, Phil Houck.
This is Fighting Irish Preview. The Irish take on Boston College at home this week. TV coverage on NBC starts at 2:30 South Bend time. And it's now time for the all-time Irish hero. Brought to you by the Marina at Lake Gage. Chris Craft, Mastercraft, and Premier Pontoons. New and previously owned, we share your boating passion. And this year we are focusing on the Fighting Irish quarterback since 1988. So far, Tony Rice, Rick Meyer, Kevin McDougal, Ron Paulus, Jarius Jackson, Brady Quinn, Jimmy Clausen, Tommy Reese, Everett Golson, Deshaun Kaiser, and this week a bonus quarterback from a little farther back, Tommy Clements. Considered by his teammates to be a coach on the field, Tom Clements almost didn't go to Notre Dame at all. A multi-sport star in high school, Clements nearly went to North Carolina to play point guard for Dean Smith. But Ara Parseghian won out, and the rest is Fighting Irish history. Clements ran the Irish offense from 1972 to 1974, and the teams he led had prolific running games. The Irish, over those three seasons, averaged 312.3 yards per game on the ground. Clements himself contributed to the Irish ground game juggernaut with 1,070 yards and 12 touchdowns in that three-year span. And during that span, not a lot of passing was done by Clements, but he was effective through the air. He passed for 3,594 yards, and interestingly, he threw exactly 8 touchdown passes each season. Most impressively, Clements led the Irish to victories, lots of them. He was 29-5 as a starter. Perhaps the most famous pass Clements ever threw came at the 208 mark of the 1973 Sugar Bowl against Alabama. The Irish were clinging to a 24-23 lead, and Notre Dame was backed up to their own 3-yard line on 3rd-and-8. Clements calmly dropped back to pass from his own end zone and found little-used tight end Robin Weber free upfield near the sideline. The pass was on target, and the Irish notched a 36-yard gain that allowed them to run out the clock and claim the 1973 national championship. After graduation, Clements settled into a 13-year career in the Canadian Football League, where he threw 252 touchdown passes for over 39,000 yards and led his teams to two Grey Cup championships. In 1992, he embarked on a coaching career, first at Notre Dame as Lou Holtz's quarterback coach for 4 seasons. Clements then moved to the NFL, where he is still coaching today, most recently with the Green Bay Packers. Tim Clements was considered to be the Indy head coach when Charlie Weiss got hired. Kind of makes you wonder what might have been.
Yeah, and I know a lot of former teammates of Tom Clements felt the same way, that they really would have enjoyed the opportunity to watch him as a head coach. A real low-key guy, and I think that that kind of played against him in getting the job, but a very humble, unaffected, quality human being that I got to know pretty well during his time at Notre Dame as a coach and even in recent years. But yeah, he was my favorite, Phil. I think we share that. He was he was our favorite Notre Dame quarterback, of course, knowing that Joe Theismann and Joe Montana were great as well. But he just had the cool nature about him, and his teammates gravitated to him. You talk about the throw to Robin Weber. But as a kid, we remember the pass connection of Clements to Demerle, Tom Clements to Pete Demerle. And that was they didn't do it a lot, like you said, because they ran the ball an awful lot, especially in 73. But Tom Clements, as you can tell by me going on and on about him, great deal of respect for that man.
Yeah, no doubt about it. He earned a Juris Doctor degree from Notre Dame in 1986 after he had retired from the CFL and went on to practice law for 5 years before going into coaching. So he's really done it all. Tom Clements, another Marina at Lake Gage all-time Irish hero. The Marina at Lake Gage, we love boats. And it's now time for the Aspen Mortgage Key to an Irish Victory. Boston College is 3-7. They upset number 17 North Carolina State 21-20 last week with a 2-yard touchdown pass with 14 seconds remaining. BC's quarterback had been former ND backup Phil Jurkovic, but he has been out with a concussion and a knee injury for the last two games. In his stead, 6'5 freshman Emmett Moorhead has played well. In his two starts, he has combined for 660 yards and 7 TD passes. And an offense that has mostly struggled all year is showing signs of life. Jurkovic's status is unclear, but the success of Moorhead makes him the clear favorite to get the start this week. Overall, the Eagle passing game averages a respectable 258 yards per game, 41st nationally, and wide receiver Zay Flowers has speed to burn. He leads the Eagles with 67 catches for 921 yards and 10 TDs. Last week, he burned North Carolina State for 130 yards and 2 touchdowns. Another former ND player, tight end George Takis, has 24 catches for 248. Boston College has struggled mightily with the run game. Last week, they netted -1 yard on the ground. Kind of sounds like Notre Dame's second half. And their game average of 61 yards ranks them dead last nationally. Pat Garwo III is the top rusher with 296 yards on 99 carries, an even 3 yards per attempt. A big part of the problem has been BC's offensive line, which has been in flux due to injury and has given up 3.9 sacks per game, and that ranks 126th nationally. BC runs a 4-2-5 base defense, and senior linebacker Vinny DePalma leads the Eagles with 71 tackles. Sophomore defensive end Donovan Ezruakai is undersized, but having a big year with 51 tackles, 6 sacks, 11.5 tackles for loss, and 3 forced fumbles. Overall, BC is allowing 28.8 points per game, 87th nationally, and they're giving up 366 yards per game, ranking them 54th. One special team stat of note, the Eagles have had 2 kicks blocked on the year, something that Brian Mason at Notre Dame undoubtedly has taken notice of. Tim Priester, what is the Aspen Mortgage key to an Irish victory?
Phil, you mentioned about how they can't run the football, and I can only imagine what Pat Garwell III has gone through, because he was a 1,000-yard rusher last year, and he's under 300 yards going into Game 11. They can't run it. They have a very difficult time protecting the quarterback, and I know those are things that we said about Stanford a few weeks ago, but it still applies to BC. They can't run it at all. They're averaging 2.1 yards per carry. And so for me, I think in order for Notre Dame to assure themselves of a victory, they're just going to have to put the hammer down on Emmett Moorhead. As you mentioned, they're taking a whole bunch of sacks. And so I'm looking at a bunch of pressure and a bunch of physicality by Notre Dame's defensive front on quarterback Emmett Moorhead is the key.
Okay, pass rush, and more pass rush. That is Tim Priester's Aspen Mortgage key to an Irish victory. And Tim Priester, who is this week's Aspen Mortgage key player for the Irish?
Well, I tried it last week, Phil, and I'm going to go back to it because he ended up not playing against Navy. And he, since Monday, Marcus Freeman has said that J.D. Bertrand has been cleared to play. I think he's going to have a huge day against their running game. I certainly could pick a pass rusher, but I want to go back to Bertrand because I think he may even actually pick up a sack as he did against Clemson. I think he's the key to, setting everything Notre Dame wants to do up front. And I think that'll launch the pass rush and stop the running game.
Okay, look for a big day out of J.D. Bertrand, and he is your Aspen Mortgage key Irish player this week. Aspen Mortgage, for all your mortgage needs, call 486-LOAN. And it's now time for the Injury Report, brought to you by Indiana Physical Therapy. Your choice for physical therapy now with 22 Indiana locations. Tim, how are the Irish health-wise going into Game 11?
Well, they get Bertrand back. Probably don't get Brandon Joseph back. He missed the Navy game with a badly sprained ankle. And then unsure about Jack Kaiser, who was injured on the same play that Xavier Arline, the quarterback for Navy, that was injured on. And so those are some pretty key guys, Joseph and Kaiser, but it's good to have Bertrand back.
Yeah, key guys on the defense, no doubt about it. Thanks, Tim. That is the Indiana Physical Therapy Injury Report, and it's now time for the world-famous Irish Illustrated Prediction, brought to you by SES Environmental. Need help navigating environmental risk and with regulatory compliance? You need SES. Look them up at sesadvantage.com. Tim Priester, Vegas says the Irish by 20.5. What does America's foremost authority say?
When I look at Boston College's defense, I can name about seven different guys that I'm impressed with. You mentioned Donovan Ezeraku, one of their defensive ends, and also Marcus Valdez. I think those are good players. They have a good secondary. Bryce Steele, I like their line. They have good players, and their wide receiver core is better than Notre Dame's. I know we've said that before this year, but the combination of Flowers, Gill, and Griffin is just very good. And so that's why you have to pressure Emmett Moorhead, because he will have success with those guys. But I don't think it's going to be enough without the running game. I don't think it's going to be enough with Notre Dame's pass rush. This game reminds me from that standpoint of the Virginia game in 2019 when Notre Dame had eight sacks against them. I don't know that they'll get eight, but I think they're going to put a lot of pressure on Emmett Moorhead. I have Notre Dame winning this game 26-14.
Okay, kind of an oddball score. Notre Dame 26, BC 14. That is Tim Priester's world-famous Irish Illustrated prediction. I'm saying that the play of Moorhead, you know, over two games has given this BC offense life, but at best, a one-dimensional team, which the Eagles are on offense, is really going to play into the Irish's hands. Pass rush, like you said, Tim, I agree. That's going to be a big in this game. And defensively, this is not a vintage BC group. Weather could have an impact on this. That's the word I'm getting a little late after I'd already made this prediction earlier this week. Nonetheless, I think Notre Dame's going to have plenty of opportunities to move the football. Notre Dame 38, Boston College 21. Thanks, Tim.
Thank you, Phil.
Go Irish, and thanks for listening to Fighting Irish Preview. Special thanks to Jim Shovlin, Brett Rump, Art Salzberg, and studio producer Adam Schenkel. For more Fighting Irish Preview, check out FightingIrishPreview.com and also listen to and subscribe to our podcast, available on all podcast platforms. Fighting Irish Preview is the copyrighted property of Judge Phil Productions.
The accounting firm of Haynes, Eisenbarger, and Skiba presents the 27th College Football Hall of Fame season of Fighting Irish Preview. And now, the Guadalupe's Mexican Grill kickoff with your host, Phil Houck.
A home opener 3,613 miles from home. Notre Dame is listed as the home team for this week's opener against Navy. That's a bit ironic when you consider that Dublin, Ireland is thousands of miles from Notre Dame Stadium. But you don't have to look at this trip too close to see that Notre Dame does indeed have a home on the Emerald Isle. Notre Dame's Fighting Irish identity is, of course, well documented, and Dublin has been the site of two previous Notre Dame contests, both against Navy. In 1996, Lou Holtz was in charge when the Fighting Irish traveled to Dublin for the first ever collegiate football game played in Ireland. The game was contested at historic Croke Park in front of nearly 39,000 fans. The duo of Autry Denson and Mark Edwards combined for five touchdowns, and the Irish racked up 303 yards on the ground as the Irish prevailed that day 54-27. In 2012, at Aviva Stadium, this time in front of a capacity crowd of 51,700, the Irish again ran wild, this time for 293 yards on the ground. Theo Riddick and George Atkinson III scored two touchdowns each, and Stephon Tuitt picked up a Navy fumble and returned it 77 yards for another score. The Irish again won big, this time 50-10. That game served as a springboard for the Irish, as the team went on to an undefeated regular season, was ranked number one in the nation by mid-November, and played in the BCS championship game. This week's game in Dublin was originally scheduled for 2020, but the pandemic had other ideas. And that brings us to 2023, and sky-high blue and gold and green expectations are in the air. Sam Hartman, Audric Estime, a loaded offensive line, and a host of veterans on defense. Notre Dame football kicks off its 133rd season this week, and the journey will begin thousands of miles away. But it will be in a place where the Fighting Irish have reason to feel right at home. Guadalupe's Mexican Grill, now with locations on Illinois, Leo, and DuPont Roads, and in Georgetown Square. Guadalupe's, food made fresh. Now, stay tuned for Fighting Irish Insight from America's foremost authority on Notre Dame football, Tim Priester, senior editor of IrishIllustrated.com. After these words from Haynes, Eisenbarger, and Skiba, Shear McCulloch Auctioneers, and Flight by Yuengling. 2.6 grams of carbs and 95 calories. It's the next generation of light beer. This is Fighting Irish Preview.
The University of Notre Dame exemplifies dedication to hard work, integrity, and personal values, which result in success in the classroom and on the football field. The professionals at Haynes, Eisenbarger, and Skiba, like Notre Dame, know the same dedication, and their experience and expertise provide peace of mind for you and your business. Tax planning, tax compliance, auditing, business valuation and estate planning, the full-service accounting firm of Haynes, Eisenbarger, and Skiba, like the Irish, has what it takes to help you achieve success. Located in Fort Wayne near Jefferson Point, Haynes, Eisenbarger, and Skiba proudly supports Notre Dame football and congratulates all those who are a part of the greatest tradition in all of sports. Go Irish!
Flight by Yuengling. It's the next generation of light beer. For those who don't follow trends, but craft them. Flight by Yuengling is 12 ounces of uncompromised refreshment from America's oldest brewery. With only 2.6 grams of carbs and 95 calories, this is premium refreshment six generations in the making. Don't just raise a glass. Raise the bar. Flight by Yuengling. Available wherever beer is sold. DG Yuengling & Son Incorporated, Pottsville, Pennsylvania. Please enjoy responsibly.
Now back to Fighting Irish Preview with your host, Phil Houck.
Tim Priester, it's our 27th year together, 27th season opener coming up. So let's talk ND 2023 opening this week in Dublin, Ireland. Let's talk about the theme, though, of the last few weeks of training camp, and it's been an interesting one. Tim, for me, and I think you'll agree, two things that come to mind, and you may have some other things, but I think these words will ring true with you. The things that come to mind are violence and trash talking. Physicality emphasis in this camp has been off the chart. Talk about that.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, I think all you have to do is look at the depth chart, and you see that defensive line averages about 10, 11 pounds more than it did last year. That's one part of it. And as far as the violence and the physicality, that's just been a big part of what the preseason practices were like when the media was allowed to view them. The trash talking part, I think it's just kind of taking the muzzle off guys and letting them be themselves. Marcus Freeman said as long as it doesn't cross a line and hurt them in any way, he's okay with that. So you're hearing more of that. But the main thing is the physicality. This is a it's a veteran defense, and now you have a, quote, veteran defensive coordinator because you got a guy that came back for the second year in a row. Last year, the junior, seniors, and fifth-year seniors on defense were all with their third defensive coordinator in 3 years. So I think that has a lot to do with the cohesion of the secondary, the entire defense. In the secondary, you've added two very physical players in Thomas Harper and Antonio Carter at safety, both big hitters. And that's just been the talk of preseason camp. The interior defensive line is more physical than we anticipated. So they're ready to go. I don't know that this will immediately show up. It should against an opponent like Navy, but the arrow is pointing up in terms of violence and physicality and even a little bit of trash talking too.
Well, yeah, you know, and as Marcus Freeman pointed out, and it may have been from a question you asked the other day, he says, when asked about this physicality and this emphasis in this camp, he says, you're talking about men going 20-something miles per hour with pads on. It's a collision sport. You've got to be courageous to play this game. I think he said something like that. And when you put it in those terms, yeah, it is definitely a violent game. And to be the best, you got to up that quotient. And I think that's been his goal, and I think that's what's happened. Tim, is there any advantage now going to Navy, going to Dublin Island? That's exciting. Third time in Notre Dame history they've been able to do that. But is there any advantage to getting Navy in week one of your schedule when you think about that? Because Notre Dame can focus on that odd option offense that they're going to have to deal with in this game. Is that an advantage, having a little extra time?
Absolutely, because by Tuesday of last week, they were working on Navy stuff. You could see the drills that they were running, scraping down the line to defend the third option of the triple option, which is the pitch to the wingback. They were doing that, 11 days in advance of the game, as opposed to, four in advance of the game. So it's definitely beneficial. I think if Notre Dame had their way, they would probably open with Navy every year as opposed to the middle of the season, unless you have a bye week before Navy. I'm not sure how often that's happened, but yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, you can say that, hey, Navy has all this time to prepare for Notre Dame too, but just because of the specialization of their offense. Now they want to throw it a little bit more. We'll talk about that as we go along, but they're still triple option based. And there's no doubt that opening with Navy is better than catching them in the middle of the season.
Yeah, new faces on the coaching staff there, at least in the head man's role, and we will talk about that later. But it's still going to be an option attack, but it might be a little more open than usual. Now let's go down with a position by position preview of the team. Let's start on the offensive side of the ball, Tim, and let's talk about the offensive line. Joe Alt, Blake Fisher, Zeke Correll is a pretty good place to start, obviously, but there's been some surprises as to just who's won those guard positions.
Yeah, Pat Coogan beat out Billy Shrouth, and that's on the left side of the line of scrimmage. And then Rocco, they're both a surprise. I mean, Rocco Spindler has beaten out Andrew Kristofic and a bunch of freshmen. We were anticipating Billy Shrouth largely because in an interview with nose tackle Howard Cross III last December, he just raved about how good Billy Shrouth was going to be. So we went into the spring anticipating him winning the job. And I wouldn't be surprised if Billy Shrouth, who's a redshirt freshman, he's going to be a really good player, whether he's starting now or not. But I wouldn't be surprised if Coogan struggles a little bit that we would see Shrouth. But Spindler has come a long, long way. Again, physicality comes into play. And I think his biggest break was the change of offensive line coaches from Harry Hiestand to Joe Rudolph. You know, some players respond differently from one style of coaching to another. Harry Hiestand was a pretty relentless attacking coach. Joe Rudolph is a little bit more teaching. When I say that, I don't mean that Harry Hiestand didn't teach, but he's got a lot more patience when it comes to his teaching. Harry Hiestand was old school, and he turned out a lot of great offensive linemen. But Rocco Spindler responded better to Joe Rudolph, and he's won the starting job.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's go down to the rest of the offense, and let's talk about these maybe in a little quick hit style. Tight end Michael Mayer, the world's greatest college football tight end, is gone. Mitchell Evans, one of the heroes of the Gator Bowl, expected to play a big role. Who else is going to step up at that position?
Yeah, definitely Holden Stays. I would say Evans Stays are the 1-2 guys. Evans is more of the blocking guy. Stays is a somebody that could realistically be the second or third leading receiver on the team.
Okay, that'd be exciting to see. Now, wide receiver is obviously an area that was a big question mark all of last season, really. But this season, Jaden Thomas and a lot of potential. Talk about the wide receiver position.
Yeah, I think Jaden Thomas leads it. There's a couple young guys there, and Jaden Greathouse and Rico Flores that are going to be prominent. Chris Tyree moved from running back and now is a receiver. Matt Salerno will be involved. The key is two guys with high ceilings, Tobias Merriweather and Deion Colsey, just didn't do a whole lot during the preseason. Those guys have high ceilings. They need them to develop. It's nice to have a guy like Sam Hartman throwing them the football.
Absolutely. And Chris Tyree, of course, making the transition to slot from running back, apparently caught 20,000 passes this past summer. So he's been working on that. Running back position, Logan Diggs went back home and is now at LSU. But Audric Estime and a lot of talent is still in South Bend. Besides Estime, how's that depth chart look?
This running back's room is loaded. Jadarian Price, Devin Ford, Jabron Payne has made a move during the preseason. And then true freshman Jeremiah Love is the fastest of the group. A lot of interchangeable parts, but obviously Audric Estime leads the way.
Yeah, that a very promising position for sure. And finally, quarterback. What does Sam Hartman bring that the Irish haven't had for probably quite some time? And all reports look like Steve Angeli is solidly the number two. Is that the way it looks?
Absolutely. Steve Angeli's performed very well. Kenny Michie has. I mean, we saw one scrimmage. All three of them performed well, even though some of the receivers didn't. Angeli has won that job. Hartman brings, I don't know, about 1,000 college completions, 13,000 yards, right, and 110 touchdowns, and the ability to go through progressions, find the open receiver. Notre Dame fans are going to see a much different level of quarterback play in 2023.
And he's won the locker room over rather quickly. And he got elected, announced as a captain last week, which makes him technically a four-time captain because he was a captain 3 years at Wake Forest. That's remarkable. Okay, let's talk defense. Lots of talent here, and arguably some depth has been developed, but there are question marks. Defensive line, you already mentioned them in the first question of this segment, but gone Isaiah Foskey and the Adamiola brothers. I sense this group might be pretty good, though, Tim, but there are question marks. Talk about the defensive line.
Well, I think they're particularly strong in the interior defensive line. You have starters Howard Cross and Riley Mills, and then you have two real up-and-comers in Jason Anye, Gabe Rubio has really stepped up, so they've got a solid foursome there on the inside. I think the biggest question is Javonte Jean-Baptiste and Jordan Botello. Can they provide the type of pass rush that Isaiah Foskey and sometimes Justin Adamiola as well? That's a bigger question mark, but they're strong. They're a lot stronger at the point of attack, and you're going to win a lot of football games if you're winning the line of scrimmage.
Yeah. Okay. And moving on to the linebacker position, starting group of Jack Kaiser, J.D. Bertrand, and Maris Leofau, very, very experienced. They should be solid. What are your thoughts as to who comes off the bench after them?
Well, I love that starting core. I think it's top notch. After that, and we're still kind of waiting to see what happens with Noller Ziegler. He missed really all of camp for personal reasons. He is back around the program. And then after that, Jalen Sneed's listed as a linebacker, but he's a guy that will help those defensive ends rushing off the edge, as will Maris Leofau. And then you have Drake Bowen, a freshman, Jaden Osbury, a freshman. They would like to get them in there because it's a long season to rely on, you know, just three guys like Leofau, Kaiser, and Bertrand.
Okay, solid starting three, and then Irish developing some young depth behind those three. Tim, the safety position, that was a big question mark. But I think after looking at what's happened in camp, it actually looks like it could be a position of strength.
Yeah, the arrival of Thomas Harper, who's going to play nickel, but he's also listed as a safety from Oklahoma State, and Antonio Carter II from Rhode Island, two big-time players, physical players, and then they join, you know, veteran Xavier Watts, DJ Brown. I think Ramon Henderson is right on the verge here as well. So that's another area where I don't know that we were anticipating that the safeties would be as deep and talented as they are, but the infusion of talent with those with those couple of transfers, plus a Xavier Watts emerging as a standout. It's a really good unit.
Yeah, and it looks like it could be a very physical group, which is something that obviously Marcus Freeman was looking for. All right, finally, the corners. Ben Morrison, a breakout freshman last year, and Cam Hart, who is now healthy. That's quite a duo.
Dynamic, really, really dynamic. A great starting pair. And then you feel really good about the backups and Jaden Mickey, who struggled frequently last year as a true freshman, but he will benefit from that. And then Clarence Lewis is kind of a wild card jack of all trades that they move around to a variety of places. You'll see Clarence Lewis a lot against Navy in the 4-4-3 defense, more of an outside linebacker. He's just that versatile. So that entire secondary and really that entire defense, if they can generate a pass rush, this is going to be a really, really good defense.
Okay, well, let's talk about how that good defense might benefit the Irish, because the Irish have an interesting schedule, and try and handle this like a quick hit. And I know that's a tough one, but three top 10 teams they're going to have to face this year. What's the over-under on wins for this team?
I think Vegas has it at 8.5, which is probably a good number, or maybe 9.5. Maybe it should be 9.5. Yeah, three top 10 teams. And then the trickiness of going to NC State 2 weeks after Ireland, having to play Duke at Duke the week after Ohio State, then having to go to Louisville with a new coach and a passing offense, the physicality of Pittsburgh after playing USC with a bye week in between, and Wake Forest has been a good team. They virtually play all the top teams in the ACC, Clemson, of course, being the best. They don't play Florida State. But most of those other teams are the upper echelon of the ACC this year.
Well, Ohio State, Clemson, and USC, those will make or break the Irish this year. Hopefully, though, they can navigate that ACC schedule. One last quick hit, Tim. Name two freshmen, true freshmen, who are most likely to have an impact.
Definitely Jaden Greathouse. Definitely Rico Flores. If Tobias Greathouse is in the rotation, if not starting, co-starting with Chris Tyree. If Tobias Merriweather doesn't rise up, Rico Flores will take his place.
All right. And how about somebody on defense?
Defensively, maybe one of those, Christian Gray. It's really crowded at cornerback, but he's a really good football player. In a normal year, when Notre Dame normally likes to have a freshman, pop in there and play a lot, I would say Christian Gray and then those freshman linebackers that I mentioned.
Okay. High hopes for the Irish this year, without a doubt. And that's your preview of the 2023 team. Thanks, Tim. Coming up, it's the all-time Irish hero, key to an Irish victory, injury report, and the world-famous Irish Illustrated prediction. And during the break, it's the Fighting Irish Fact of the Week, brought to you by Ron Wise and the Wise Insurance Agency. This is the 383rd edition of Fighting Irish Preview.
This is Art Salzberg. I don't speak for a lot of companies, but Shearer McCulloch is a firm that provides a great and much-needed service. As Sharon and I get older, we've been thinking of moving, but frankly, the thought is somewhat overwhelming. That's where Shearer McCulloch comes in with a full service plan that takes the pressure off. Listen to this. Shearer McCulloch will sell your house, auction the items you don't want to take, then pack everything else and move you. In sports terms, that's a blowout win. Shearer McCulloch uses an international auction platform to make sure your possessions are seen by the right buyers. They'll get top dollar for your special treasures. Shearer McCulloch is highly recommended by leading retirement communities and law firms, plus their AAA with the Better Business Bureau. Call them at 441-8636. That's 441-8636. They'll make your moving experience easy and profitable. Shearer McCulloch.
The Fighting Irish Fact of the Week is brought to you by our friends at the Wise Insurance Agency. Clipper Smith, a Notre Dame All-American lineman who played in the first ever game against Navy in 1927, was 5'9" and weighed 164 pounds. This year's starting front five for the Irish average, 6'6", 312 pounds. Call Ron Wise at the Wise Insurance Agency or go to thewiseinsuranceagency.com and get an auto or home quote in less than 5 minutes.
Flight by Yuengling. It's the next generation of light beer. For those who don't follow trends, but craft them.
Flight by Yuengling is 12 ounces of uncompromised refreshment from America's oldest brewery. With only 2.6 grams of carbs and 95 calories, this is premium refreshment 6 generations in the making. Don't just raise a glass. Raise the bar. Flight by Yuengling. Available wherever beer is sold. DG Yuengling & Son Incorporated, Pottsville, Pennsylvania. Please enjoy responsibly.
Now back to Fighting Irish Preview with your host, Phil Houck.
This is Fighting Irish Preview. The preseason number 13 Irish take on Navy in Dublin, Ireland this week. TV coverage on NBC starts at 2:30 p.m. South Bend time. And it's now time for the all-time Irish hero. Brought to you by the Marina at Lake Gage, Chris Craft, Mastercraft, Vanderbilt, and Premier Pontoons. New and previously owned, we share your boating passion. Last year, Fighting Irish Preview focused on the Fighting Irish quarterbacks since 1988. This season, we're going to start out with an ND great, who passed away at the age of 98 just a few weeks ago. 1947 Heisman Trophy winner, Johnny Lujack. A Notre Dame legend, Lujack led Notre Dame to 3 national championships. His ND career started in 1942 after an outstanding multi-sport high school career in Connellsville, Pennsylvania. As a sophomore for the Irish in 1943, he came off the bench after 6 games to fill in at quarterback for another Heisman Trophy winner, Angelo Bertelli, who had been drafted into the Marine Corps. That Notre Dame team finished 9-1, and Lujack had his first national championship. Next, after spending 3 years fighting in World War II, Lujack returned to Notre Dame in 1946, and for the next 2 seasons, with him at quarterback, defensive back, and linebacker, the Irish never lost. They went 8-0-1 in 1946 and 9-0 in 1947. Lujack was a consensus All-American both seasons, and both those teams were awarded the national championship. And after the 47 season, Lujack won the Heisman Trophy. At Notre Dame, Lujack amazingly won monograms in 4 sports, football, baseball, basketball, and track. After a successful but short career with the Chicago Bears, Leahy returned to Notre Dame as a coach in 1952 and was a contender to succeed Frank Leahy at head coach in 1954, a job that eventually went to Terry Brennan. Tim, Johnny Lujack was one of those names from Notre Dame history that when you hear it, it just seems to invoke a sense of awe.
Yeah, 98 years old, God bless him, a gem of a human being. I never had the opportunity to meet him, but everybody that I've ever known that knew Johnny Lujack praised him. It would have been interesting, Phil, wouldn't it have been, had he been named the head coach? I know Terry Brennan had success early on and wasn't able to maintain it, but I wonder what it would have been like to have Johnny Lujack as Notre Dame's head football coach.
Yeah, well, that was what I think Lujack was thinking when he left the Bears after a successful season, but just after 4 seasons, came back to coach under Leahy, and after 2 years, it came down to either Lujack or Terry Brennan. The job went to Terry Brennan, and Johnny Lujack went into the car business as a Chevrolet dealer and made a bunch of money there. Johnny Lujack, another Marina at Lake Gage all-time Irish hero. The Marina at Lake Gage, we love boats, and it's now time for the Aspen Mortgage Key to an Irish Victory. Navy is under new head coach and last season's defensive coordinator, Brian Newberry. They returned 17 starters off a team that put a serious scare into the Irish last year before falling short after a furious second-half comeback, 35-32. Navy overall, however, has fallen on some hard times. They have not had a winning season since 2019 and finished last year at 4-8. On defense last year, Navy ranked high in many national categories, including 2nd in rushing defense. Gone is their leading tackler, linebacker John Marshall, but returning intact is the defensive line, both interior linebackers and the secondary. Offensively, Newberry has brought in Kennesaw State coordinator Grant Chestnut, who is a product of triple option guru Paul Johnson's coaching tree. The word out of Navy, however, is that Chestnut will indeed open things up a bit in the passing game. That may not mean much, however. In 2022, Navy averaged just 10 passes per game, so expect plenty of triple option football. Fullback Dabo Fulana returns after a breakout 2022 season in which he rushed for 769 yards and 6 TDs. Navy does return some experience at quarterback in Ty Lavate and Xavier Arline, but expect to see action from sophomore Blake Horvath, who is said to be the best passer of the group. Last year, Navy nearly pulled off that upset comeback by going into an all-out every down blitz package in the second half. The strategy handcuffed a slow to react to Drew Pine and shut the Irish down. That same strategy will be available once again to Navy. However, Sam Hartman should be much better at making quick decisions in the passing game and be able to exploit a high-pressure approach if it comes again. Tim Priester, what is the Aspen Mortgage key to an Irish victory?
Yeah, Phil, I think it all comes down to how Notre Dame handles the line of scrimmage from an offensive line standpoint. And it's exactly for the reasons that you mentioned. In the second half, Brian Newberry attacked Notre Dame's offensive front. Notre Dame has two brand new offensive guards. It's going to be a real challenge. As you mentioned, having Sam Hartman at quarterback is going to make a huge difference in the decision making. But yeah, there's a reason why Navy allowed 3.01 yards per carry, and it was their ability to attack the line of scrimmage. Notre Dame and Sam Hartman need to deal with that. The offensive guards need to deal with that. If you can pick up some of those blitzes, you can pull Navy out of their blitz game. Notre Dame beat them with Notre Dame beat Navy on the blitz in the first half of that game, but they're going to have to do a better job in the second game. So win at the point of attack against a very aggressive defensive approach.
Okay, handle that Navy defensive line, and that's going to be the offensive line's job for the Irish, and that is Tim Priester's Aspen Mortgage key to an Irish victory. And Tim Priester, who is this week's Aspen Mortgage key player for the Irish?
Well, I think Audric Estime, you know, if Notre Dame can do a good job of picking up those blitzes, he's going to get the ball early and often. I mentioned what a deep running back core Notre Dame has this year. Certainly the key is that offensive line, but I think Notre Dame is going to have the answer to some of those blitz, and Audric Estime is going to pop through that line and break off one run, maybe two long runs.
Fans, if you can believe it, Audric Estime looked even more fit and impressive and intimidating when he came into camp this year, and he's always been known as a physical specimen. And Audric Estime is your Aspen Mortgage key Irish player this week. Aspen Mortgage, for all your mortgage needs, call 486-LOAN. And it's now time for the injury report, brought to you by Indiana Physical Therapy. Your choice for physical therapy now with 22 Indiana locations. Tim, how are the Irish health-wise going into game one?
Starting center Zeke Correll is a little bit hobbled. Didn't really get back in action until this week with a left ankle sprain. Otherwise, pretty good. Kevin Ballman, unfortunately, all the knee problems that he has had, he's out for the season once again with a torn ACL. As is Aiden Gobira, a redshirt freshman defensive end that probably wasn't going to contribute a whole lot early in this season. So really, all things considered, when we talk about the physicality of preseason camp, with the exception of Zeke Correll, and he should be fine by Saturday. Notre Dame's in pretty good shape to start the 2023 season.
And Jadarian Price, who showed so much promise last year but then tore his Achilles during the summer, is he back and he's going to contribute at running back?
Yeah, listen, I'm knocking on wood here. Yeah, he is back. He's had no problems through camp. He was full go from the very beginning. Is a physical back with some burst. He's a key. He should be the first guy off the bench to replace Estime. But again, they're deep there, and they have a lot of good options.
They do indeed. And Jadarian Price is a name that I think you might be hearing a lot of. Thanks, Tim. That is the Indiana Physical Therapy Injury Report, and it's now time for the world-famous Irish Illustrated Prediction, brought to you by SES Environmental. Need help navigating environmental risk and with regulatory compliance? You need SES. Look them up at sesadvantage.com. Tim Priester, Vegas says the Irish by 20 points. What does America's foremost authority say?
Well, I named Audric Estime as the key player, and part of that is because I'm sure I'm going to be choosing Sam Hartman a lot this season. And really, you know, he is the guy that's in a position to really hurt Navy's defense. And you know, if you just do a good job of picking up the blitz, Sam Hartman is going to find an open man. So I expect Notre Dame's offense to click. Again, a lot depends upon that wide receiver core and the group of the two that I mentioned that have a high upside. You know, I'm going to be a little bit cautious in how many points I pick with the new configuration at guard. But I think Notre Dame has success. Triple option teams that like to throw the football more, what generally ends up happening is they still don't throw it very well, and it negatively impacts their triple option. So I expect Notre Dame's defense to be well prepared for this, in accord with what we said about having the extra time in the preseason to repair, to prepare for Navy. I'm going to be fairly cautious. The point spread's 21. I'm going to go with Notre Dame 41, Navy 13.
Notre Dame 41, Navy 13. That is Tim Priester's world-famous Irish Illustrator prediction. Tim, I just really like the Notre Dame veteran linebackers against the Navy option. That's critical against the option. And the ability of Sam Hartman to handle pressure scheme, anything that comes his way. Between that and having a running back like Audric Estime and some of those guys off the bench on that depth chart, I just think the Irish roll in this game. I'm taking Notre Dame 38, Navy 10. Thanks, Tim.
Thanks, Phil.
Go Irish, and thanks for listening to Fighting Irish Preview. Special thanks to Jim Shovelin, Brett Rump, Art Salzberg, and studio producer Adam Schenkel. For more Fighting Irish Preview, check out FightingIrishPreview.com and also listen to and subscribe to our podcast, available on all podcast platforms. Fighting Irish Preview is the copyrighted property of Judge Phil Productions.
The accounting firm of Haynes, Eisenbarger, and Skiba presents the 27th College Football Hall of Fame season of Fighting Irish Preview. And now, the Guadalupe's Mexican Grill kickoff with your host, Phil Houck.
A home opener 3,613 miles from home. Notre Dame is listed as the home team for this week's opener against Navy. That's a bit ironic when you consider that Dublin, Ireland is thousands of miles from Notre Dame Stadium. But you don't have to look at this trip too close to see that Notre Dame does indeed have a home on the Emerald Isle. Notre Dame's Fighting Irish identity is, of course, well documented, and Dublin has been the site of two previous Notre Dame contests, both against Navy. In 1996, Lou Holtz was in charge when the Fighting Irish traveled to Dublin for the first ever collegiate football game played in Ireland. The game was contested at historic Croke Park in front of nearly 39,000 fans. The duo of Autry Denson and Mark Edwards combined for 5 touchdowns, and the Irish racked up 303 yards on the ground as the Irish prevailed that day 54-27. In 2012, at Aviva Stadium, this time in front of a capacity crowd of 51,700, the Irish again ran wild, this time for 293 yards on the ground. Theo Riddick and George Atkinson III scored 2 touchdowns each, and Stefan Tuitt picked up a Navy fumble and returned it 77 yards for another score. The Irish again won big, this time 50-10. That game served as a springboard for the Irish, as the team went on to an undefeated regular season, was ranked number 1 in the nation by mid-November, and played in the BCS championship game. This week's game in Dublin was originally scheduled for 2020, but the pandemic had other ideas. And that brings us to 2023, and sky-high blue and gold and green expectations are in the air. Sam Hartman, Audric Estime, a loaded offensive line, and a host of veterans on defense. Notre Dame football kicks off its 133rd season this week, and the journey will begin thousands of miles away. But it will be in a place where the Fighting Irish have reason to feel right at home. Guadalupe's Mexican Grill, now with locations on Illinois, Leo, and DuPont Roads, and in Georgetown Square. Guadalupe's, food made fresh. Now, stay tuned for Fighting Irish Insight from America's foremost authority on Notre Dame football, Tim Priester, senior editor of IrishIllustrated.com. After these words from Haynes, Eisenbarger, and Skiba, Shear McCulloch Auctioneers, and Flight by Yingling. 2.6 grams of carbs and 95 calories. It's the next generation of light beer. This is Fighting Irish Preview.
The University of Notre Dame exemplifies dedication to hard work, integrity, and personal values, which result in success in the classroom and on the football field. The professionals at Haynes, Eisenbarger, and Skiba, like Notre Dame, know the same dedication, and their experience and expertise provide peace of mind for you and your business. Tax planning, tax compliance, auditing, business valuation, and estate planning, the full-service accounting firm of Haynes, Eisenbarger, and Skiba, like the Irish, has what it takes to help you achieve success. Located in Fort Wayne near Jefferson Point, Haynes, Eisenbarger, and Skiba proudly supports Notre Dame football and congratulates all those who are a part of the greatest tradition in all of sports. Go Irish!
Flight by Yuengling. It's the next generation of light beer. For those who don't follow trends, but craft them. Flight by Yuengling is 12 ounces of uncompromised refreshment from America's oldest brewery. With only 2.6 grams of carbs and 95 calories, this is premium refreshment six generations in the making. Don't just raise a glass. Raise the bar. Flight by Yuengling. Available wherever beer is sold. DG Yuengling & Son Incorporated. Pottsville, Pennsylvania. Please enjoy responsibly.
Now back to Fighting Irish Preview with your host, Phil Houck.
Tim Priester, it's our 27th year together, 27th season opener coming up. So let's talk ND 2023 opening this week in Dublin, Ireland. Let's talk about the theme, though, of the last few weeks of training camp, and it's been an interesting one. Tim, for me, and I think you'll agree, two things that come to mind, and you may have some other things, but I think these words will ring true with you. The things that come to mind are violence and trash talking. Physicality emphasis in this camp has been off the chart. Talk about that.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, I think all you have to do is look at the depth chart and you see that defensive line averages about 10, 11 pounds more than it did last year. That's one part of it. And as far as the violence and the physicality, that's just been a big part of what the preseason practices were like when the media was allowed to view them. The trash talking part, I think it's just kind of taking the muzzle off guys and letting them be themselves. Marcus Freeman said as long as it doesn't cross a line and hurt them in any way, he's okay with that. So you're hearing more of that. But the main thing is the physicality. This is a it's a veteran defense, and now you have a, quote, veteran defensive coordinator because you got a guy that came back for the second year in a row. Last year, the junior seniors and fifth-year seniors on defense were all with their third defensive coordinator in 3 years. So I think that has a lot to do with the cohesion of the secondary, the entire defense. In the secondary, you've added two very physical players in Thomas Harper and Antonio Carter at safety, both big hitters. And that's just been the talk of preseason camp. The interior defensive line is more physical than we anticipated. So they're ready to go. I don't know that this will immediately show up. It should against an opponent like Navy. But the arrow is pointing up in terms of violence and physicality and even a little bit of trash talking too.
Well, yeah, and as Marcus Freeman pointed out, and it may have been from a question you asked the other day, he says, when asked about this physicality and this emphasis in this camp, he says, you're talking about men going 20-something miles per hour with pads on. It's a collision sport. You've got to be courageous to play this game. I think he said something like that. And when you put it in those terms, yeah, it is definitely a violent game. And to be the best, you got to up that quotient. And I think that's been his goal, and I think that's what's happened. Tim, is there any advantage now going to Navy, going to Dublin, Ireland? That's exciting. Third time in Notre Dame history they've been able to do that. But is there any advantage to getting Navy in week one of your schedule when you think about that? Because Notre Dame can focus on that odd option offense that they're going to have to deal with in this game. Is that an advantage, having a little extra time?
Absolutely, because by Tuesday of last week, they were working on Navy stuff. You could see the drills that they were running, scraping down the line to defend the third option of the triple option, which is the pitch to the wingback. They were doing that you know, 11 days in advance of the game as opposed to, you know, four in advance of the game. So it's definitely beneficial. I think if Notre Dame had their way, they would probably open with Navy every year as opposed to the middle of the season, unless you have a bye week before Navy. I'm not sure how often that's happened, but yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, you can say that, hey, Navy has all this time to prepare for Notre Dame too, but just because of the specialization of their offense. Now they want to throw it a little bit more. We'll talk about that as we go along, but they're still triple option based. And there's no doubt that opening with Navy is better than catching them in the middle of the season.
Yeah. New faces on the coaching staff there, at least in the head man's role. And we will talk about that later, but it's still going to be an option attack. But it might be a little more open than usual. Now let's go down with a position by position preview of the team. Let's start on the offensive side of the ball, Tim, and let's talk about the offensive line. Joe Alt, Blake Fisher, Zeke Correll is a pretty good place to start, obviously, but there's been some surprises as to just who's won those guard positions.
Yeah, Pat Coogan beat out Billy Shrouth, and that's on the left side of the line of scrimmage. And then Rocco, they're both a surprise. I mean, Rocco Spindler has beaten out Andrew Kristofic and a bunch of freshmen. We were anticipating Billy Shrouth largely because in an interview with nose tackle Howard Cross III last December, he just raved about how good Billy Shrouth was going to be. So we went into the spring anticipating him winning the job. And I wouldn't be surprised if Billy Shrouth, who's a redshirt freshman, first of all, he's going to be a really good player, whether he's starting now or not. But I wouldn't be surprised if Coogan struggles a little bit that we would see Shrouth. But Spindler has come a long, long way. Again, physicality comes into play. And I think his biggest break was the change of offensive line coaches from Harry Hiestand to Joe Rudolph. You know, some players respond differently from one style of coaching to another. Harry Hiestand was a pretty relentless attacking coach. Joe Rudolph is a little bit more teaching. When I say that, I don't mean that Harry Hiestand didn't teach, but he's got a lot more patience when it comes to his teaching. Harry Hiestand was old school, and he turned out a lot of great offensive linemen. But Rocco Spindler responded better to Joe Rudolph, and he's won the starting job.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's go down to the rest of the offense, and let's talk about these maybe in a little quick hit style. Tight end, Michael Mayer, the world's greatest college football tight end, is gone. Mitchell Evans, one of the heroes of the Gator Bowl, expected to play a big role. Who else is going to step up at that position?
Yeah, definitely Holden Stays. I would say Evans Stays are the 1-2 guys. Evans is more the blocking guy. Stays is somebody that could realistically be the second or third leading receiver on the team.
Okay, that would be exciting to see. Now, wide receiver is obviously an area that was a big question mark all of last season, really. But this season, Jaden Thomas and a lot of potential. Talk about the wide receiver position.
Yeah, I think Jaden Thomas leads it. But there's a couple young guys there, and Jaden Greathouse and Rico Flores that are going to be prominent. Chris Tyree moved from running back and now is a receiver. Matt Salerno will be involved. The key is two guys with high ceilings, Tobias Merriweather and Deion Colsey, just didn't do a whole lot during the preseason. Those guys have high ceilings. They need them to develop. It's nice to have a guy like Sam Hartman throwing them the football.
Absolutely. And Chris Tyree, of course, making the transition to slot from running back. Apparently caught 20,000 passes this past summer, so he's been working on that. Running back position, Logan Diggs went back home and is now at LSU, but Audric Estime and a lot of talent is still in South Bend. Besides Estime, how's that depth chart look?
This running back's room is loaded. Jadarian Price, Devin Ford, Jabron Payne has made a move during the preseason, and then true freshman Jeremiah Love is the fastest of the group. A lot of interchangeable parts, but obviously Audric Estime leads the way.
Yeah, that a very promising position for sure. And finally, quarterback. What does Sam Hartman bring that the Irish haven't had for probably quite some time? And all reports look like Steve Angeli is solidly the number two. Is that the way it looks?
Absolutely. Steve Angeli's performed very well. Kenny Michie has. I mean, we saw one scrimmage. All three of them performed well, even though some of the receivers didn't. Angeli has won that job. Hartman brings, I don't know, about 1,000 college completions, 13,000 yards, and 110 touchdowns. and the ability to go through progressions, find the open receiver. Notre Dame fans are going to see a much different level of quarterback play in 2023.
And he's won the locker room over rather quickly. And he got elected, announced as a captain last week, which makes him technically a four-time captain because he was a captain 3 years at Wake Forest. That's remarkable. Okay, let's talk defense. Lots of talent here, and arguably some depth has been developed, but there are question marks. Defensive line, you already mentioned them in the first question of this segment, but gone, Isaiah Foskey and the Adam Eola brothers. I sense this group might be pretty good, though, Tim, but there are question marks. Talk about the defensive line.
Well, I think they're particularly strong in the interior defensive line. You have starters Howard Cross and Riley Mills, and then you have two real up-and-comers in Jason Anye, Gabe Rubio has really stepped up, so they've got a solid foursome there on the inside. I think the biggest question is Javonte Jean-Baptiste and Jordan Botello. Can they provide the type of pass rush that Isaiah Foskey and sometimes Justin Adamolola as well? That's a bigger question mark, but they're strong. They're a lot stronger at the point of attack, and you're going to win a lot of football games if you're winning the line of scrimmage.
Yeah. Okay. And moving on to the linebacker position, starting group of Jack Kaiser, J.D. Bertrand, and Maris Leofau. Very, very experienced. They should be solid. What are your thoughts as to who comes off the bench after them?
Well, I love that starting core. I think it's top notch. After that, and we're still kind of waiting to see what happens with Noller Ziegler. He missed really all of camp for personal reasons. He is back around the program. And then after that, Jalen Sneed's listed as a linebacker, but he's a guy that will help those defensive ends rushing off the edge, as will Maris Leofau. And then you have a couple, you have Drake Bowen, a freshman, Jaden Osbury, a freshman. They would like to get them in there because it's a long season to rely on, you know, just three guys like Leofau, Kaiser, and Bertrand.
Okay, solid starting three, and then Irish developing some young depth behind those three. Tim, the safety position, that was a big question mark. But I think after looking at what's happened in camp, it actually looks like it could be a position of strength.
Yeah, the arrival of Thomas Harper, who's going to play nickel, but he's also listed as a safety from Oklahoma State, and Antonio Carter II from Rhode Island, two big-time players, physical players, and then they join, you know, veteran Xavier Watts, DJ Brown. I think Ramon Henderson is right on the verge here as well. So it's a, you know, it's a, that once again, that's another area where I don't know that we were anticipating that the safeties would be as deep and talented as they are, but the infusion of talent with those couple of transfers, plus a Xavier Watts emerging as a standout. It's a really good unit.
Yeah, and it looks like it could be a very physical group, which is something that obviously Marcus Freeman was looking for. All right, finally, the corners. Ben Morrison, a breakout freshman last year, and Cam Hart, who is now healthy. That's quite a duo.
Dynamic, really, really dynamic. A great starting pair. And then you feel really good about the backups. And Jaden Mickey, who struggled frequently last year as a true freshman, but he will benefit from that. And then Clarence Lewis is kind of a wild card jack of all trades that they move around to a variety of places. You'll see Clarence Lewis a lot against Navy in the 4-4-3 defense, more of an outside linebacker. He's just that versatile. So that entire secondary and really that entire defense, if they can generate a pass rush, this is going to be a really, really good defense.
Okay, well, let's talk about how that good defense might benefit the Irish, because the Irish have an interesting schedule, and try and handle this like a quick hit, and I know that's a tough one, but three top 10 teams they're going to have to face this year. What's the over-under on wins for this team?
I think Vegas has it at 8.5, which is probably a good number, or maybe 9.5. Maybe it should be 9.5. Yeah, three top 10 teams. And then the trickiness of going to NC State 2 weeks after Ireland, having to play Duke at Duke the week after Ohio State, then having to go to Louisville with a new coach and a passing offense, the physicality of Pittsburgh after playing USC with a bye week in between. And Wake Forest has been a good team. They virtually play all the top teams in the ACC. Clemson, of course, being the best. They don't play Florida State. But most of those other teams are the upper echelon of the ACC this year.
Well, Ohio State, Clemson, and USC, those will make or break the Irish this year. Hopefully, though, they can navigate that ACC schedule. One last quick hit, Tim. Name two freshmen, true freshmen, who are most likely to have an impact.
Definitely Jaden Greathouse. Definitely Rico Flores. If Tobias Greathouse is in the rotation, if not starting, co-starting with Chris Tyree. If Tobias Merriweather doesn't rise up, Rico Flores will take his place.
All right. And how about somebody on defense?
Defensively, maybe one of those, Christian Gray. It's really crowded at cornerback, but he's a really good football player. In a normal year when Notre Dame normally likes to have a freshman, pop in there and play a lot, I would say Christian Gray and then those freshman linebackers that I mentioned.
Okay. High hopes for the Irish this year, without a doubt. And that's your preview of the 2023 team. Thanks, Tim. Coming up, it's the all-time Irish hero, key to an Irish victory, injury report, and the world-famous Irish Illustrated prediction. And during the break, it's the Fighting Irish Fact of the Week, brought to you by Ron Wise and the Wise Insurance Agency. This is the 383rd edition of Fighting Irish Preview.
This is Art Salzberg. I don't speak for a lot of companies, but Shearer McCulloch is a firm that provides a great and much-needed service. As Sharon and I get older, we've been thinking of moving, but frankly, the thought is somewhat overwhelming. That's where Shearer McCulloch comes in with a full-service plan that takes the pressure off. Listen to this. Shearer McCulloch will sell your house, auction the items you don't want to take, then pack everything else and move you. In sports terms, that's a blowout win. Shearer McCulloch uses an international auction platform to make sure your possessions are seen by the right buyers. They'll get top dollar for your special treasures. Shearer McCulloch is highly recommended by leading retirement communities and law firms, plus their AAA with the Better Business Bureau. Call them at 441-8636. That's 441-8636. They'll make your moving experience easy and profitable. Shearer McCulloch.
The Fighting Irish Fact of the Week is brought to you by our friends at the Wise Insurance Agency. Clipper Smith, a Notre Dame All-American lineman who played in the first ever game against Navy in 1927, was 5'9" and weighed 164 pounds. This year's starting front five for the Irish average, 6'6", 312 pounds. Call Ron Wise at the Wise Insurance Agency or go to thewiseinsuranceagency.com and get an auto or home quote in less than 5 minutes.
Flight by Yuengling. It's the next generation of light beer. For those who don't follow trends, but craft them. Flight by Yuengling is 12 ounces of uncompromised refreshment from America's oldest brewery. With only 2.6 grams of carbs and 95 calories, this is premium refreshment six generations in the making. Don't just raise a glass. Raise the bar. Flight by Yuengling. Available wherever beer is sold. DG Yuengling & Son Incorporated. Pottsville, Pennsylvania. Please enjoy responsibly.
Now back to Fighting Irish Preview with your host, Phil Hauk.
This is Fighting Irish Preview. The preseason number 13 Irish take on Navy in Dublin, Ireland this week. TV coverage on NBC starts at 2:30 p.m. South Bend time. And it's now time for the all-time Irish hero. Brought to you by the Marina at Lake Gage, Chris Craft, Mastercraft, Vanderbilt, and Premier Pontoons. New and previously owned, we share your boating passion. Last year, Fighting Irish Preview focused on the Fighting Irish quarterbacks since 1988. This season, we're going to start out with an ND great, who passed away at the age of 98 just a few weeks ago. 1947 Heisman Trophy winner, Johnny Lujack. A Notre Dame legend, Lujack led Notre Dame to three national championships. His ND career started in 1942 after an outstanding multi-sport high school career in Connellsville, Pennsylvania. As a sophomore for the Irish in 1943, he came off the bench after six games to fill in at quarterback for another Heisman Trophy winner, Angelo Bertelli, who had been drafted into the Marine Corps. That Notre Dame team finished 9-1, and Lujack had his first national championship. Next, after spending 3 years fighting in World War II, Lujack returned to Notre Dame in 1946, and for the next two seasons, with him at quarterback, defensive back, and linebacker, the Irish never lost. They went 8-0-1 in 1946 and 9-0 in 1947. Lou Jack was a consensus All-American both seasons, and both those teams were awarded the national championship. And after the 47 season, Lou Jack won the Heisman Trophy. At Notre Dame, Lou Jack amazingly won monograms in four sports: football, baseball, basketball, and track. After a successful but short career with the Chicago Bears, Leahy returned to Notre Dame as a coach in 1952 and was a contender to succeed Frank Leahy at head coach in 1954, a job that eventually went to Terry Brennan. Tim, Johnny Lou Jack was one of those names from Notre Dame history that when you hear it, it just seems to invoke a sense of awe.
Yeah, 98 years old, God bless him, a gem of a human being. I never had the opportunity to meet him, but everybody that I've ever known that knew Johnny Lou Jack praised him. It would have been interesting, Phil, wouldn't it have been, had he been named the head coach? I know Terry Brennan had success early on and wasn't able to maintain it, but I wonder what it would have been like to have Johnny Lou Jack as Notre Dame's head football coach.
Yeah, well, that was what I think Lou Jack was thinking when he left the Bears after a successful season, but just after four seasons, came back to coach under Leahy, and after 2 years, it came down to either Lou Jack or Terry Brennan. The job went to Terry Brennan, and Johnny Lou Jack went into the car business as a Chevrolet dealer and made a bunch of money there. Johnny Lou Jack, another Marina at Lake Gage all-time Irish hero. The Marina at Lake Gage, we love boats, and it's now time for the Aspen Mortgage Key to an Irish Victory. Navy is under new head coach and last season's defensive coordinator, Brian Newberry. They returned 17 starters off a team that put a serious scare into the Irish last year before falling short after a furious second-half comeback, 35-32. Navy overall, however, has fallen on some hard times. They have not had a winning season since 2019 and finished last year at 4-8. On defense last year, Navy ranked high in many national categories, including second in rushing defense. Gone is their leading tackler, linebacker John Marshall, but returning intact is the defensive line, both interior linebackers and the secondary. Offensively, Newberry has brought in Kennesaw State coordinator Grant Chestnut, who is a product of triple option guru Paul Johnson's coaching tree. The word out of Navy, however, is that Chestnut will indeed open things up a bit in the passing game. That may not mean much, however. In 2022, Navy averaged just 10 passes per game. So expect plenty of triple option football. Fullback Dabo Fulana returns after a breakout 2022 season in which he rushed for 769 yards and 6 TDs. Navy does return some experience at quarterback in Ty Lavate and Xavier Arline, but expect to see action from sophomore Blake Horvath, who is said to be the best passer of the group. Last year, Navy nearly pulled off that upset comeback by going into an all-out every-down blitz package in the second half. The strategy handcuffed a slow-to-react Drew Pine and shut the Irish down. That same strategy will be available once again to Navy. However, Sam Hartman should be much better at making quick decisions in the passing game and be able to exploit a high-pressure approach if it comes again. Tim Priester, what is the Aspen Mortgage key to an Irish victory?
Yeah, Phil, I think it all comes down to how Notre Dame handles the line of scrimmage from an offensive line standpoint. And it's exactly for the reasons that you mentioned. In the second half, Brian Newberry attacked Notre Dame's offensive front. Notre Dame has two brand new offensive guards. It's going to be a real challenge. As you mentioned, having Sam Hartman at quarterback is going to make a huge difference in the decision making. But yeah, there's a reason why Navy allowed 3.01 yards per carry, and it was their ability to attack the line of scrimmage. Notre Dame and Sam Hartman need to deal with that. The offensive guards need to deal with that. If you can pick up some of those blitzes, you can pull Navy out of their blitz game. Notre Dame beat Navy on the blitz in the first half of that game, but they're going to have to do a better job in the second game. So win at the point of attack against a very aggressive defensive approach.
Okay, handle that Navy defensive line, and that's going to be the offensive line's job for the Irish, and that is Tim Priester's Aspen Mortgage key to an Irish victory. And Tim Priester, who is this week's Aspen Mortgage key player for the Irish?
Well, I think Audric Estime, you know, if Notre Dame can do a good job of picking up those blitzes, he's going to get the ball early and often. I mentioned what a deep running back core Notre Dame has this year. Certainly the key is that offensive line, but I think Notre Dame is going to have the answer to some of those blitz, and Audric Estime is going to pop through that line and break off one run, maybe two long runs.
Fans, if you can believe it, Audric Estime looked even more fit and impressive and intimidating when he came into camp this year, and he's always been known as a physical specimen. And Audric Estime is your Aspen Mortgage key Irish player this week. Aspen Mortgage, for all your mortgage needs, call 486-LOAN. And it's now time for the injury report, brought to you by Indiana Physical Therapy. Your choice for physical therapy now with 22 Indiana locations. Tim, how are the Irish health-wise going into game one?
Starting center Zeke Correll is a little bit hobbled. Didn't really get back in action until this week with a left ankle sprain. Otherwise, pretty good. Kevin Ballman, unfortunately, all the knee problems that he has had, he's out for the season once again with a torn ACL, as is Aiden Gobira, a redshirt freshman defensive end that probably wasn't going to contribute a whole lot early in this season. So really, all things considered, when we talk about the physicality of preseason camp, with the exception of Zeke Correll, and he should be fine by Saturday. Notre Dame's in pretty good shape to start the 2023 season.
And Jadarian Price, who showed so much promise last year, but then tore his Achilles during the summer, is he back and he going to contribute at running back?
Yeah, listen, I'm knocking on wood here. Yeah, he is back. He's had no problems through camp. He was full go from the very beginning. Is a physical back with some burst. He's a key. He should be the first guy off the bench to replace Estime, but again, they're deep there, and they have a lot of good options.
They do indeed, and Jadarian Price is a name that I think you might be hearing a lot of. Thanks, Tim. That is the Indiana Physical Therapy Injury Report, and it's now time for the world-famous Irish Illustrated Prediction, brought to you by SES Environmental. Need help navigating environmental risk and with regulatory compliance? You need SES. Look them up at sesadvantage.com. Tim Priester, Vegas has the Irish by 20 points. What does America's foremost authority say?
Well, I named Audric Estime as the key player, and part of that is because I'm sure I'm going to be choosing Sam Hartman a lot this season. And really, you know, he is the guy that's in a position to really hurt Navy's defense. And you know, if you just do a good job of picking up the blitz, Sam Hartman is going to find an open man. So I expect Notre Dame's offense to click. Again, a lot depends upon that wide receiver core and the group of the two that I mentioned that have a high upside. You know, I'm going to be a little bit cautious in how many points I pick with the new configuration at guard, but I think Notre Dame has success. Triple option teams that like to throw the football more, what generally ends up happening is they still don't throw it very well, and it negatively impacts their triple option. So I expect Notre Dame's defense to be well prepared for this, in accord with what we said about having the extra time in the preseason to prepare for Navy. I'm going to be fairly cautious. The point spread's 21. I'm going to go with Notre Dame 41, Navy 13.
Notre Dame 41, Navy 13. That is Tim Priester's world-famous Irish Illustrator prediction. Tim, I just really like the Notre Dame veteran linebackers against the Navy option. That's critical against the option. And the ability of Sam Hartman to handle pressure scheme, anything that comes his way. Between that and having a running back like Audric Estime and some of those guys off the bench on that depth chart, I just think the Irish roll in this game. I'm taking Notre Dame 38, Navy 10. Thanks, Tim.
Thanks, Phil.
Go Irish, and thanks for listening to Fighting Irish Preview. Special thanks to Jim Shovlin, Brett Rump, Art Salzberg, and studio producer Adam Schenkel. For more Fighting Irish Preview, check out FightingIrishPreview.com and also listen to and subscribe to our podcast, available on all podcast platforms. Fighting Irish Preview is the copyrighted property of Judge Phil Productions.